Alright, let's get the road on the show, because I'm pissed off. A little bit. Yeah, what else is new, right? I'll get over it. What's up, y'all? It's me, it's the great one himself, Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSSC.com, on the motherfucking interwebs. Welcome back to Stating the Obvious. I had a busy... the week, I have like... Today is Sunday. I'm working every single day, not until Friday, but until next Friday. So it's possible that the podcast is going to be sketchier than normal. We're just going to see how this goes. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. Oh yeah. Sitting here drinking a beer, talking about anarcho-capitalism and girls, being slightly agitated, which we'll talk about once we get into the intro. And what are we introing? Well, we're introing, I can't talk, Stating the Obvious. Stating the Obvious is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect. It homes in on and destroys stupid motherfucking statists all around the world. Yeah, pretty badass, huh? That's how we motherfucking roll around here. Beer. If there are survivors... If, after the nuclear-tipped cruise missile impacts and kills all the statists, sometimes there's survivors, and you can hear them at night, because they'll be walking around in the darkness going, Rose! Rose! Who's going to build roads? Rose! Where are my roads? It's always the roads. It's all about the motherfucking roads. Alright. I am the great one himself. This is Stating the Obvious podcast. Welcome to Stating the Obvious 203. In the control room over on the other side of the glass, being seen but not heard, is the lovely and adorable Randy. You can send us email, God, it's dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs, and of course the website. I mentioned that already, didn't I? What's today, Randy? What the fuck is today? Thank you. 9th. Today is the 9th of November, 2014. How the hell is it November already? This shit sucks. Alright, let's get straight to it. We're picking up. Enough with all the bullshit. Oh yeah, and the theme song is not stating the obvious. The theme song is You Know I'm Right by David Gilmour. He is an extremely rich left-wing statist who believes in welfare just as long as he doesn't have to give any of his billions of dollars to the poor people. We should instead, you know, tax people who work for a living at minimum wage and such as that, and we should use that money to provide for poor people. But billionaires like David Gilmour, he's not going to lift a fucking finger to help a poor person, but he is a left-wing statist who believes in the welfare state. And that song is about me, because you know I'm right, and either you are wrong or I am right. Those are the options. Okay, I'm not drunk, but I have had a beer. I throw that disclaimer out. I'm not drunk. No, officer, I'm not drunk. You have to tell. What does that always say? If you have to tell somebody you're not drunk, you're probably drunk. Randy, my mic is really fucking hot. Bring it down, would you? Yeah, that's what that does. And it'll level out when we normalize in post. Look at my waveform. La la la, Sally sells seashells by the seashore. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. Two. I'm a sound guy. Two. All right, that looks better. Thanks. Okay, let's get back to American Bitches Be Like. This is part 3, and possibly the last part in a series entitled American Girls Be Like Overprivileged Insecure Liars. Now I'm going to talk more about the female of the human species in upcoming cast, but they're not necessarily going to be part of this series just because I want to be able to give them different titles that will piss off feminazis. But this started off when I was talking about girls that I had gone out with or attempted to go out with and their bad behavior. So while I'm thinking about it, let's go into why I'm in a bad mood right now. I'm not in a really bad mood. I'm in a little bit of a bad mood. So last night. So last night I was out at an event doing my thing, you know, swinging my dick around and hugging the cute girls and hanging out and shit. And there's this pretty babelicious babe who was there. And anyhow, long story short, I made contact with the babelicious babe and said, "Yo, babelicious babe, we should totally fuck." And she is like, "Dude, hell yeah. Slip your big old great one cock inside me." All right, that's not really what happened. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. But anyhow, the point is I made contact with the babelicious babe, and there is potential that babelicious babe and I are going to go out. So again, we'll see how this goes, because the initial, right, we'll see where this falls in the spectrum with all the other girls that I've talked about in this series. And I'm going to do a recap of the girls. And I added another one, because as I pointed out in a previous edition of Anarchy Moment, between stating the obvious 202 and stating the obvious 203, the one you're listening to now, the more I think about it, I'll remember girls that I've gone out with or that I was supposed to go out with or that I talked to or whatever in the recent past. And so the more I think about this list, the longer it gets, because the more people I remember need to be on it. It's just interesting to me how forgettable these women are. You know, as I mentioned in that episode of Anarchy Moment, I know that you women go through life thinking that everything revolves around you and you're so amazing and so incredible, and you know, there's all these men who want you and men who ask you out and you don't go out with them or you dump them or whatever. I'm sure that in your tiny little minds, you think they spend the rest of their life pining for you and thinking about you and regarding you as the one who got away or some shit like that. And the truth is, speaking as a man, because I am a man, I mean, as Randy, you can attest, I am right now sitting here wearing my boxer shorts. Is that not correct? Exactly. You guys can't see her nodding her head, but she's nodding her head because I'm sitting here right now wearing my boxer shorts. And I can reach down, and through my boxer shorts, I can feel a giant nutsack and a cock. I am a man. I guarantee you this is true. You may not like that. You may think this is patriarchy, maybe racism, sexism. It may hurt your fucking feelings. If it hurts your fucking feelings, you should go listen to Stating the Obvious 150. It's the episode entitled Fuck You and Fuck Your Feelings. But I am a man. And I can assure you, as a man, I can assure you that, yeah, a couple of days after we haven't seen you, we forget about you. You're not all that. You're not that important. I still, you know, man, Randy, I still don't get it. How is it that when I'm talking, the waveform is so low, but if you burp, if you fart, you know, if you clear your throat, it just amazes me how the fucking waveform, it's like the microphone selectively says, hey, this is a sound I shouldn't pick up. I don't get this shit. I'm not an audio guy. I guess that's what it is. I don't fucking understand why this is the way it is. It has nothing to do with girls. Hang on a second. I need another drink of beer. So anyhow, I keep remembering girls that I had forgotten. That's the point. Because you girls really are forgettable. So now, last night, made contact with the little babelicious babe. So we'll see how this turns out. It may or may not happen. I got the phone number, and we sent a couple of, you know, she texted me, so I'd have her number, and There's like this verbal agreement, oh, we'll go get a beer sometime, but man, just the success rate for me with that shit is really, I mean, it's about zero, so I have really low expectations. It's whatever. Tonight, I was doing my show notes for this show at a local brewery, my favorite brewery. And there was, it was like fucking babe night in there. Holy shit, Randy, that's, I'm telling you, you're, you know, and see, here's the thing. Okay, so I failed. Here's what it amounts to is I failed to make contact with the Babelicious babe. Okay, so the things I want to say about this is, first of all, it's not because of the patriarchy or Obama or Bush or Clinton or the alien lizard people from space or the Jews or heterosexual white people who work for a living or anything. You know, it's my fault. This is one of the critical differences. I've talked about this over and over and over. Critical difference between a white heterosexual man who works for a living anarcho-capitalist and pretty much all the rest of you is that we take credit for our accomplishments and also take blame for our failures. We always take responsibility for what happens to us. And if you want to be our equal, if you want to come up and say, I, a woman, or I, a black man, or I, a brown man, or I, a fucking one-legged, one-eyed, stuttering, homosexual, black Jew, whatever kind of weird fucking minority group you've created in order to make yourself feel good about yourself. And God, have I got some shit about fucking people trying to feel good about themselves. Oh, fucking Christ. Oh, have I got something to read to you guys from the fucking college newspaper. Anyhow, whatever kind of fucking special interest group you've created for yourself to feel good about yourself, if you want to come up and you want to say unto me, heterosexual white man who works for a living, anarcho-capitalist, non-aggression principle, property rights, you want to come up and you want to say to me that you're my motherfucking equal, you better be willing to take responsibility for what happens to you. Because if you don't, you're not my fucking equal, and I'm not going to treat you like my equal. It's just not going to happen. So she was pretty babe. There was, God damn it, Randy, there was fucking babes all in that place. So I failed to make contact with the Babelicious babe, and I've been angry with myself about that. I mean, I'm not like beating my head against the wall or anything. I'm going to get over it in 2 or 3 days. I'm going to forget what she looked like. It's fine. But damn, there was like, holy shit, I am not, I'm rationalizing, I'm in the process of rationalizing all of this now, because I was there working on show notes, and I knew that we had our agreement to be here at 6 o'clock to record the show. So it's like, oh, I'd love to go talk to the Babelicious babe, but oh, I have to be at the studio to record the podcast at 6 p.m., right? That was the fucking weak-ass excuse I gave myself. But again, it's self-awareness, okay? I knew it was a weak-ass excuse when I was using it. What was really happening was that I was pussying out. That's what really happened. I was a giant fucking vagina. I was a goddamn big, giant fucking coward. But you see, I have self-awareness. I was aware that I was rationalizing being a coward by, oh, I gotta be at the studio to record your podcast. Because, I mean, really, if I would have showed up late, would you have given a shit? Okay, well, I wouldn't care that you gave a shit. Because you know how my hierarchy works. Right, exactly. Exactly. You know what's number one on my hierarchy. Girls. And you know what? Sometimes the podcast has to wait. All right. Ooh. Beer. So anyhow, I made these lame-ass fucking excuses. And I sissied out, and I did not make contact with the Babelicious babe. So I have a little bit of grumpiness with myself. I am unhappy with my performance. And again, only by self-examination, only by looking at yourself and being dissatisfied with things that you do and seeing the opportunities for improvement. That's the only way things can get better in your life. As long as you make like a woman or a statist, but I repeat myself, and go through life constantly seeking to put the responsibility for what happens to you on other people, you're always going to be a failure, right? Again, this is why if I were a woman and I didn't talk to some babelicious guy, it would be because of patriarchy and rape culture and George Bush and all this other shit. But because I'm a man, that's spelled M. I say man. So that's for all you blues music fans out there. That was me mutilating a blues song. Anyway, because I'm a fucking man, this was supposed to be like the first 3 minutes of the podcast. Where are we at? Great. Okay, I should fucking... In other words, I should fucking pick up the pace, right? Stop rambling. So yeah, last night I contacted the Babelicious Babe. We might go out. We'll see how it goes. Tonight I failed to make contact with the Babelicious Babe. And now I'm grumpy with myself because I'm a goddamn fucking coward. But the Babelicious Babe from last night, dude, her ass. Oh my god, she has the most... I mean, her butt is so scrumptious. Holy shit, dude. I want to get that ass. I want to get my tongue. Anyway. My tongue, her ass. Oh my god. Okay. Done with that. Let's get on with this. Hey, Randy, where are we at? 18 minutes into the cast. Great, let's start the fucking podcast now. Here we go. All right, girls being flaky. Let's review the list, and let's talk about the couple I didn't get to, and let's add some. Oh, and then I need to do it. Well, I did the update in... I updated about girl D in a anarchy moment, but I'll hit that again. Don't let me forget to do that. Oh, wait, it's on my notes. All right, anyway. Girl A. Girl A, known her for a while. We texted, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, hey, let's go out sometime, get a drink. She's like, oh, yeah. Then it's like, oh, let's go out this weekend. She's like, oh, yeah. Then the weekend comes, like, oh, I don't think I have time. I'm so busy. Oh, my God, I'm so busy. Because, oh, God, I went to the coffee shop today. And as I'm waiting for my friend to show up, where's my fucking mouse cursor? There it is. As I'm waiting for my friend to show up, I'm overhearing this conversation about this girl at the table next to me. And she's talking about how she's a musician. And, like, she's talking like this. And I'm like, I'm not exaggerating. She's totally, like, talking just like this. And she was talking about how she was being objectified. And, like, she just doesn't like being objectified. And I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, my God. I don't know why you're being objectified. Ow. Anyway, it was hilarious. All right, anyway. Dude, don't tell me that farts aren't funny. They are. All right. Randy, why are you letting me have so much fun? Okay. Especially after not making contact with the Babelicious Babe, I should not be having... this much fun. I can always go back after we're done recording. I have too much to do. It's probably not worth it. She's probably actually boring as fuck, because so many women are. All right, anyway. I'm going to try to stay on topic. Let's see if I can stay on top. Randy, time me. 5 minutes. Let's see if I can stay on topic for 5 minutes. Okay, ready? Go. Oh, squirrel. All right. So girl A, sorority girl, she's, you know, blah, blah, yeah, we're going to go out, the weekend comes, oh, I can't go out, I'm busy, it's like, what the fuck ever, I just started ignoring her. Girl B, she's a sorority girl also, she's the one like, oh, we're going to go out on this particular day, we named a day, we knew we were going, yada, yada, yada. As we get closer, she gets all flaky, she's like, oh, I'm too busy. She's the one who said, I'm sorry for giving you false hope. We'll talk the false hope thing. We're going to talk about, I talked about the false hope thing, we're going to talk more about the false hope thing. We're going to talk about... what kind of honesty does a person owe another person? B because Stefan Molyneux, who recently shot himself in the foot, and I talked about that on an Anarchy Moment, Stefan Molyneux, who terribly embarrassed himself by being an idiot, which he can do sometimes, you know, he's made the point that that honesty has to be earned. And I think that's true to a point. And so I believe I've elaborated is the word I'm looking for. Couldn't find it there because there's too many other words. I believe I have elaborated about that in the past, but I'm going to elaborate on it again. Okay. So she gave me the false hope. She also, what the hell was it? Oh! It was also funny that she's telling me that she doesn't have time to go out, but when we were talking, she was telling me about how she goes to parties and gets drunk, even though she's only 19, which of course I don't care about underage drinking, doesn't bother me because I don't believe the state owns your body. I don't believe that the state should be able to tell you you can't drink alcohol. But the point is, she has time to go to parties and get drunk, but she doesn't have time to follow through on what she says she's going to do. Then we have Girl C. Who was Girl C? Where's my list? It's not my list. Where the fuck is my list? Oh, it's right here. Thanks, Randy. Girl C. Oh, Girl C, that girl. Yes, she's, you know, it's like, oh yeah, we should go out. She's like, yeah, we'll go out. Then it's like, oh, I'm always busy. I'm like, you know, it's like, oh, I'm busy. I'm busy this weekend. Oh, I'm busy. All right, well, fuck you then. I'm gone. Girl D is the one who actually had the integrity to just say no. She's the one who just said, nope, don't want to go out with you. You know, then she gave me the boyfriend excuse. And it's like, maybe she has a boyfriend, maybe she doesn't. Who cares? I talked about this. Anyway, I ran into her again. And I said, hi, what's up? You know, and I thought about doing whatever. I thought about trying to pick it up again or what, flirt with her some more or whatever. In the end, I decided not to because, and I really don't feel like this, right, all of this shit with the girl I didn't make contact with tonight, that's excuses, that's rationalization. I fully admit that. With Girl D, it really was a matter of I was reading a good book. And girls are just not that interesting. I mean, I'm not talking about sexually. I'm talking about intellectually. I mean, the cost-benefit, and I talked about this in an Anarchy Moment. If you haven't listened to recent Anarchy Moments, it's in there. She just wasn't worth investing any time in. Because I was reading a really good book. Last and First Men. I'm going to read some more from that book. The book is fucking pretty impressive. It's really interesting. Anyway, Girl E. Who is Girl E? Ah, yes. Girl E was somebody who's a friend of a friend. I've done some stuff with her in the past. We've hung out here and there. Not like dating hung out, but we've done stuff together because of other people and yada, yada, yada. Anyhow, we're both runners, and so he's like, hey, we should go trail running sometime, because I saw her up on the trail. So I was like, yeah, we should go trail running. It's like, yeah, that'd be great. So again, it's like I'm texting her, all right, you want to go out this weekend? She said, no, I'm doing something. It's like, okay. Then next weekend, hey, you going to go trail running this weekend? She said, no, I'm doing something. And it's like, so I hit her again. It's like, hey, you go trail running sometime? You know, what's up? And no response. It's like, again, it's like, why? What the fuck is it with you dumb whores? I mean, if you don't want to go, and don't get me wrong, I would fuck her. I would totally fuck the shit out of this girl. But if my intention was just to go trail running with her, I mean, yes, I would try to fuck her. I was going to try to fuck her, yes. But it was just, we're going to go trail running. We're not fucking dating. We're not getting married. I'm not looking for fucking commitment. We're just going to go trail running. She said, yeah, I'll go trail running with you. Why do you fucking whores lie about this shit? Why? If you don't fucking want to go trail running with me, just say you don't want to go trail running. Why is that so fucking hard? Why do you fucking cunts completely lack integrity? And then you go through your fucking filthy little cunt-ass lives going, I want a man who's honest. I value honesty. You don't value honesty, you dumb bitch. The fuck do you think you're lying to? I can't find a good man. Of course you can't find a good man because you're a lying cunt. The fuck? I value honesty. No, you don't. You wouldn't know honesty if somebody took a goddamn 6-ton fucking block of honesty and shoved it up your ass. You wouldn't even recognize it. You do not value honesty. Will you please shut the fuck up? Girl F. Who the hell is Girl F? Oh, Girl F. Girl F, I met her at a festival. We're chit-chatting and everything. God, her body was amazing. And it's like, hey, we should get together sometime. She's like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. And we do the phone number thing. And I text her, and she texts back. And I text her, and she texts back. And I text her. It's like, when you want to get together, and it's like nothing. I haven't heard from her since. It's been, what, 2, 3, 4 months, whatever the fuck it is, who cares? Maybe I should just hit her again, just randomly, just to see if anything comes back. But again, it's like, okay, so I say, do you want to get together? She's like, yes. If you don't want to get together, why the fuck do you horse say yes? And I have a theory on this, a thesis. I have a thesis about why this is true. We'll get to it. It's in the notes. All right. Then, of course, there's Girl G. This one I just thought of a couple of days ago. I forgot all about Girl G. So Girl G, we went out once, and it was okay. She's kind of boring, but kind of interesting. And she's my type, though. She's, like, really girly and artsy, which was nice. And so then it's like, oh, we'll go out again. I'm texting, and then she drops off the face of the earth for a while, and I find it's because, oh, she dropped her phone in water. I've heard this before. So anyway, then it's like texting some more, and then nothing, and then texting and some nothing. And it's like, you know, blah, 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 and nothing. And again, it's like, God damn it. And just this long, dragging out process where they're like, oh, I'm busy, oh, I'm doing stuff. Like, it's like, what is going on here? And I have a thesis about what's going on here. We're going to come to that. So anyhow, then I actually made contact with her again recently. She's living out of state now. Because I texted her and she actually responded. Which I've noticed that is sometimes you let like 6 months go by and then you send her a text and she'll respond. It's never actually led to anything yet, but they at least respond, which is something. All right. So, you chicks just can't say no. You always say yes. Shouldn't say always, girl. So what do we got? We got A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So that's 7. We're up to 7 chicks in this particular sample size. That's the word I'm looking for. In this particular sample, I got 7 girls. One of them had the integrity to just say no. 6 of them said yes, but never really meant yes. Which is odd, because according to you feminazis, no means no, but apparently in your world, yes sure as fuck doesn't mean yes. Hang on. Whoops. Hang on, Randy. I gotta look at email for a second. I know. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. All right. God damn it, I gotta do that shit. I have so fucking much to do. Alright, so speaking of having so much to do, how is it that I can be so fucking busy? See, I do a podcast, I do photography, I do websites, work for the fucking theater, I go out chasing girls. I do all this shit. The other week I worked 80 fucking hours. How is it I can be this busy and still have time for girls? But girls apparently are so busy, they just can't do anything. And here's what I'm wondering about. If you girls are all so fucking busy all the fucking time, why don't you ever get anything done? We've all heard the saying, a woman's work is never done. How can it not be done? The fuck are you doing all the time? You're busy all the fucking time. Hey, you want to go get a drink this weekend? Oh, I'm too busy. You want to go get coffee this morning? Oh, I'm too busy. You're busy all the fucking time. What are you doing? Seriously, honey. Serious. This is a serious fucking question for you dumbass cunts out there. If you're so fucking busy all the time, what the fuck are you doing? Like these sorority girls. Oh, I'm busy. But you're busy. The fuck are you doing? What? I mean, you're studying? Why? You're not taking any math classes? You're not taking anything difficult? Wait, I gotta go to a sorority meeting. What kind of fucking meeting can a sorority have? The fuck are you gonna meet about? What are you doing? None of you are working 80 hours a fucking week. I'm busy shit. Serious, I mean it. If you're busy, what the fuck are you doing? Here's the deal. American girls are like fire. I'm pretty sure I've talked about this before. Fire is not an agent. Fire does not have any kind of moral polarity. Fire does not think for itself. Fire cannot be held responsible. If I light a candle and I put the candle close to the drapes and the drapes catch on fire and burn down the house, I can't blame fire for burning down the house. The reason the house burned down isn't because of fire. It's because I mishandled the fire. The fire has no moral polarity. The fire has no agency. The fire just does what it does. Right? Fire burns things. That's what fire does. That is its nature. Only I, as a heterosexual white man who works for a living, am a moral agent. Only I have agency. Only I am responsible for using fire correctly and for making sure the fire doesn't get out of control. Girls are exactly the same way. Girls have no agency, they have no moral polarity, they don't know right from wrong. I've talked about this before, I'll talk about it in the future. And again, this is not, I don't mean this metaphorically, I mean this in a literal sense. I still need to look up the word literally to see if that's actually the way you're supposed to use the word, because I've heard it's the incorrect usage and I don't know. But yeah, the point is I'm not speaking metaphorically. It's just like when we say that men cannot have babies, right? This is a biological fact. It can be confirmed by experimentation and independent observation that men cannot give birth to children. We don't have wombs. It doesn't happen, right? When I say women are not capable of morality, I mean it in exactly the same sense. Women are, biologically, because of their brain chemistry, they are mentally, they are intellectually incapable of morality. And this is all of them. This is every woman, from my mother, my grandmother, the women I've had sex with, the women I love, my friend. It doesn't matter. It's just like all men can't give birth to children. It doesn't matter if they're your father or if you're a husband or you love them, whatever. It's a fucking biological fact. It is a fucking biological fact that women are not biologically, they're not neurologically capable of distinguishing right from wrong on their own. Women exist to consume. Women exist to conform with society around them and to consume resources, just as men exist to create resources, to bring in resources, and to create opportunities, to invent. This is why, as I've talked about before, every fucking good thing that's happened in our society, and the bad things as well, every change, almost every change that has happened in our society has come from men. Slavery came from men. Abolition of slavery came from men. Electricity came from men. Death penalty came from men. War on drugs came from men. whatever the fuck it is, concentration camps for Jews, men, automobiles, men, airplane, men, fire, men, architecture, men, mathematics, men, computers, men, microphones, men, beer, men, the pyramids, men, right? Every fucking thing. You look around you, everything you see around you was created by a man. Women consume it, men create it. Men are able to distinguish right from wrong. It's what we do. Women cannot distinguish right from wrong. You can call me sexist, you can call me homophobic, you can call me racist, you can call me patriarchy, you can call me whatever the fuck you want to call me. It doesn't matter what you call me. I'm right about this. If you think I'm wrong, then you're just fucking stupid and you're lying to yourself. Go out and talk to women. Watch women. Look at how women behave. Women are incapable of distinguishing right from wrong. They are just like fire. They burn. They consume. It's what they do. Women consume resources just like fire. Beer. Yum. Just like I'm consuming beer right now while recording this podcast. So when women consume, just as we can't hold fire responsible for burning down the house if we set the candle too close to the drapes, we can't really hold women responsible for their continued lying, their hypergamy, their short hair, their tattoos, their body piercings, their fatness, their bad behavior. We can, but only to an extent, because ultimately we, men, are allowing them to do this stuff. Now, of course, individually, there's not a lot we can do about it, other than just as individuals, when women behave badly, you just remove them from your life. So this is more of a societal community problem, right? Our culture as a whole has reached this point where everybody is just terrified to tell a woman, you're fat, you should lose some weight. Or to tell her, all those tattoos make you look like a freak. Or to tell her, all those piercings make you look like a freak, right? That's why when you look at Return of Kings, whenever they published the articles, you know, women with short hair are broken, the fucking explosion of fucking feminists just foaming at the mouth. And when they published the article about how women with tattoos and piercings are broken, the feminists foam at the mouth. Because you just can't tell a woman anymore that there's something she could do to make herself better. Let me move on before I run out of time. American bitches are like Schrodinger's cat. My audience, if you've listened to the podcast this far, you are a member of quote-unquote my audience. I don't have to explain to you Schrodinger's cat. It's like when I was doing the podcast and I started to explain how a four-way stop sign works. And then I realized anybody who's still listening to my podcast past the first 3 minutes is one of quote-unquote my people. And there are things I don't need to explain to you. I don't need to explain to you Schrodinger's cat, because you know this. Women are just like Schrodinger's cat. The cat does not exist until somebody observes it. Women do not exist if they're not getting attention. This is my theory about why every fucking bitch on earth, if you say to her, do you want to go out sometime, get a beer, or whatever, they will all say yes, even when they mean no. They will say yes because they want attention. And every man they say yes to is one more man texting them or calling them. Actually, nobody calls anybody anymore. In fact, calling girls has actually become quote-unquote creepy, which is the girl word for anything she doesn't like. But every man she says yes to is a man who's texting her, Facebooking her, tweeting her, you know, what the fuck ever. And they have no intention of actually interacting with most of these men in the real world, but they will say yes and give out their phone number so they can receive the text, just so they can ignore the text, because the text coming in is attention. And that, by God, they fucking need attention, because without attention, they don't exist. And that's my theory on why girls will say, yes, I'll go out with you, even though they're not going to go out with you. That's why they give you their phone number and they say, text me. Because when you send them that text, they're getting attention. It reinforces their belief that they are desirable. American bitches, be always concerned with the alpha male. Let me tell you this story about theater where I work at. So, we, the theater tech crew, our direct supervisor is a female. I will call her Alice. Alice's direct supervisor is a male. I will call him Bob. Bob is kind of an idiot. And I don't know who taught him how to dress himself, but he dresses worse than I do. And I dress, as Randy can attest, I dress like a fucking homeless person most of the time. So Alice comes up to me one day and she tells me that I need to be wearing long pants. And it's like, well, okay, whatever. And the reason I need to be wearing long pants is because I'm walking back and forth in front of Bob, and Bob is seeing me wearing shorts. Now, she didn't say that Bob had a problem with me wearing shorts. She didn't say that Bob had said anything about me wearing shorts. Nothing in that sense. It was simply, Alice says, Bob sees you wearing shorts. Therefore, you must wear long pants. Now, the reason for this, of course, is because Alice is concerned with placating the alpha male in her environment. Now, somebody could say, well, but he's the boss. Well, no, but I've had jobs before. I've had bosses, and I've been the boss, right? People who aren't pussies. It's like, look, if you are running a department at a job, you need to run your fucking department. I, in all my years of working jobs where I was running departments and had bosses and I had employees, I never got my employees to change their behavior just because somebody else might see their behavior. Now, I might get them to change their behavior because their behavior is not working, or because it's the wrong behavior, or for some other reason. But the idea of going to one of my employees and saying, hey, my boss can see you. I need you to change what you're doing, right? If what the person is doing is wrong, and that could be wrong in an ethical sense, like wrong like killing small children, or it could be wrong like using the wrong tool for the wrong job, or it could be wrong like violating the dress code. And there, of course, there's no written dress code at the theater. All of it, if there was a written dress code, that would solve this, but that doesn't exist. But the point is, if the employee is doing something wrong, then the wrongness should be fixed, not because the boss can see it, but because it's wrong, right? It's like if you rape a woman in the woods and nobody sees it, is it still rape? Well, yeah, it is. Okay, so it's like a Schrodinger, you know, if there's a woman not getting attention, does she still exist? No, she doesn't. But it's like a Schrodinger's cat thing, okay? If the employee is doing something wrong, it doesn't matter if the boss sees him or not. The employee should not do the wrong thing. But if it's not wrong, then it doesn't matter if the boss sees him or not. So the point is, Alice is simply trying to appease the alpha male, because that's what women instinctively do. Now, at the same time, I'm wearing a black shirt, and she wants to know, well, don't you have a black shirt with a collar on it? A venue shirt with a collar on it. I'm pretty sure I've told this story already. I don't care, because I need to recap all this in one episode so it gels. And I'm like, yes. So, well, you need to wear that. And so I'm looking around. None of the girls on the crew are wearing their venue shirt with a collar. And on the first day of this event, I think all the guys were wearing their venue shirts with a collar, but the next day there was a guy wearing, not wearing a venue shirt with a collar. So the point is, again, why is my wardrobe being singled out among all the people on the crew? Why is the policy of wear a venue shirt that has a collar not applied to the other men, and of course not applied to the women? Well, of course, because standards aren't for women. Right, as I've talked about before, there is no dress code for women in any workplace. You go to almost any workplace in the United States, there's a dress code for men. Women, on the other hand, can show up dressed however the fuck they want, and nobody will say a word to them. Why? Because women cannot be held to the same standards that men are held to. Yet, oddly enough, they want to be in charge, they want to get paid the same amount of money, they want jobs, they want to be equal, all this other shit, yet they can't even fucking wear the same clothes that we wear. Yet they want to be equal. And of course, all the women on the crew fairly regularly give me shit about my wardrobe, about wearing shorts and such. They also made jokes with me about having condoms in my backpack. I didn't really have condoms in my backpack. It's a long story, but they saw something. They thought it was a condom. It wasn't. But the point is, we made jokes about it. And of course, when I'm up here humping an electrical cable, they're all laughing their asses off. So why is all of this? Because again, it's the alpha male thing. Out of everybody on the theater crew, I am, sexually speaking, the alpha male. Because I have very limited competition, not because I'm that fucking studly. There aren't very many men who work at the theater who could fuck the shit out of all of these girls. I'm pretty much it. And so from a sexual perspective, they recognize me as the man on the crew who could fuck them. So as a result, they're constantly looking for my attention, because that's what girls do. In addition to consume, in addition to burning things, in addition to lying, in addition to constantly attention whoring. What? Oh, God damn it. Thanks, Randy. All right. That's what they do. They look for attention from the alpha male. We're running out of time. Chicks are dumber than shit. I told the story on Anarchy Moment. The girl tried to subtract 12 from 21 and she got 8. Wrong. Okay? I've told the story before about the girl in my intro to theater class who said, I took intro to theater because I thought it would be easy credits. Wrong, honey. She got her ass kicked by that class. No, here's a fucking newsflash. Intro to theater is a difficult class. You gotta do a lot of reading. You gotta do writing. You gotta go to plays. You gotta analyze shit. It's not easy credits. Just because it's theater doesn't mean it's easy credits. In theater, we have to do a thing called math. Yeah, math fucking factors into it, bitch. I've told the story before. 4 different girls on CSU campus, I was hitting on them. I said, what are you majoring? And they're like, majoring in journalism. I'm like, oh, why are you majoring in journalism? 4 different girls gave me the same answer. Because you don't have to take any math classes. Yeah, because math is so hard. That's why 21 minus 12 equals 8. You have a fucking vagina. There's a square and the rectangle the same size. I'm pretty sure I told this story. I had a woman say to me, here's a square, here's a rectangle. Can you make them the same size? No, because a square, by definition, has 4 sides, 90-degree angles. They're all the same fucking length. A rectangle, by definition, has 4 sides, 90-degree angles. 2 sides are one length. 2 sides are a completely different length. No, I cannot fucking make a square and a rectangle the same size. It's fucking impossible to do that. It's called geometry. It's not fucking patriarchy. It's called geometry. It wasn't created to fucking oppress your bitch ass. It was created because it's fucking true. A square and a fucking rectangle cannot be the same fucking size. Why do you think you should be paid the same amount of money as a man? Shut the fuck up, get your bitch ass in the kitchen, and make me a motherfucking pie. I did the anarchy moment where I talked about how the woman said to me, studies have shown that women are better financial planners than men, and how I just fucking laughed. Aaron Cleary on his blog, if I remember, I'll put the fucking link in. Aaron Cleary just found evidence that women save less money than men, which all of us could have told you. I said that to a friend of mine today. I was at the coffee shop with her. I told her that, and she's like, duh, of course women save less money than men. She's a woman. She knows it because she has fucking self-awareness. You dumb fucking feminist. All right. Where am I? My notes. I did that. Why girls say they will when they want. Oh, God, I'm so far from the end. All right. What are we doing? All right. Yes. Fuck. All right, Randy, we're going over. Do not play the exit music. Do not. Nope. Do not do it. I'm telling you, don't do it. Hold the exit music. We're going over because I am going to wrap this up. Oh, damn it. Hang on. I got to scratch my nuts. And drink a beer. Why do girls say they will when they won't? Why is it that no means no and yes also means no? Part of it, I said, is their desire for attention. It's how they get attention. Here's another part that I think factors into this. Women are driven by emotion. They're driven by feelings. Women don't want their feelings hurt. Now, if you go up to a girl and you say, you want to go out sometime, and she says no, from her perspective, she thinks this is going to hurt you, the man's feelings. And in some cases it will, and some of us, I've talked about this before, as men, we've come to accept rejection from chicks when you ask them out. I mean, that's just what happens. You either get over it, or you never talk to a girl in your life. Those are pretty much your options, because most girls are going to reject you. That's the nature of the beast. But of course, girls live in a different world where to them, rejection is a big deal. And so they don't get that male perspective. So to a girl, if a man walks up and says, do you want to go out? And she says no, her assumption is that he's going to be emotionally devastated. And it's going to hurt his feelings and make him feel bad. And so the fact that she has hurt his feelings and made him feel bad is going to make her feel bad. But she doesn't want to feel bad. Because remember, women are incredibly selfish. Women give a shit about themselves and themselves only. She doesn't want to feel bad. Because she doesn't want to feel bad, she's not going to say no to the man because she doesn't want him to feel bad, because if he feels bad, that's going to make her feel bad. So she says yes. And then in the future, when he's texting, she says no in the context of the text. Because when you say no to somebody in person, and they're right there in front of you, you more directly experience any rejection that they're feeling. Whereas if you simply ignore somebody's text messages, see, that provides this insulation between the rejected man and her perception, right? It's just like, well, it's like with war. I mean, the average person, if the average person had to kill with, if the average person had to take a knife and herself or himself slit the throats of 12 people who are driving to a wedding, they wouldn't do it, right? But when Obama uses a flying robot to kill 12 people who are driving to a wedding, the average American, there's all this insulation between the American slave and the dead people, right? They voted for Obama and the government and the flying robot. There's all this insulation. And so they're able to just look the other way as these people are murdered by the government. But if they themselves had to murder these 12 people, it would be different. And so it's the same thing. This is one more reason why, and again, this is in Roosh. I've linked to this multiple times in the past. Over at Roosh V, he wrote a brilliant article about why women with smartphones are incapable of love. because the smartphone isolates and insulates them from other people, right? Because they have all these offers of sex constantly coming in via their smartphone, and because they're isolated and insulated from other people. So the text messaging insulates women from seeing the people they're rejecting. And so they say yes in person because they don't want to hurt your feelings, because they don't want to see you get your feelings hurt, because that will make them feel bad. But they're perfectly okay with ignoring your text messages because they're isolated and insulated from you. It's all about their selfishness. This is why they say yes when they really mean no. This brings me to, does a woman owe a man, do women owe us honesty? And I have to finish soon because I just drank the last of my beer. Do women owe us honesty? Yes and no. And again, I'm almost certain I've talked about this before, but I'm going to wrap it up with this anyway. You owe people, all of us should reserve truth and honesty for people who have earned it. But at the same time, there is a basic level of truth and honesty that we do owe to other people. And that level of truth and honesty is the amount, the degree of truth and honesty that respects other people's time and property and life. As I'm thinking about this, it's the level of truth and honesty that abides by the non-aggression principle and property rights. So you owe somebody the truth and honesty to say to them something like, you shouldn't drive your car around the corner because the bridge is out. And if you drive your car around the corner and you don't stop in time, you're going to go off the bridge and die. Or you owe somebody the honesty to, like, you're at the coffee shop and somebody says, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Would you watch my computer for me while I'm gone? You owe them the honesty to say, yeah, I'll watch your computer, and then to do it. If somebody, you know, if somebody says to you, do you want to go out sometime and get a cup of coffee? And you really don't, you owe them the honesty to say, no, I don't want to go out with you. So that they don't waste their time. You know, this is what girl B was, oh, I'm sorry about the false hope. It's not false hope. You just lied. You said you were going to do something. You weren't going to do it, but because you said you were going to do this, I was making plans for my life, my schedule, my time, my resources based on you were going to do this. You wasted part of my life, part of my resources, part of my time. You stole from me. You initiated aggression against me. You took shit that is mine. And you took it under false pretenses because you knew you weren't going to follow through. That's the sort of honesty you owe people. It's like, this is why I say that girl D, even though she was probably lying about having a boyfriend, or not, because she's really hot, she probably does have a boyfriend, but it doesn't matter. The point is, what matters is, see, and that is the perfect example. She was honest about the part that matters. She was honest when she said, no, I don't want to go out with you. She told me the truth where it needed to be told, and I did not waste any more resources on her. I did not waste time. I didn't call her and text her and fucking think about her and make plans and anything else. That's the part of our interaction where she was respectful, where she acted with integrity. Now, the part about she has a boyfriend, that might be true, that might not be true, but see, that doesn't matter. That's the level of honesty she does not owe me. For her to say, I don't want to go out with you, that's the level of honesty that she does, quote unquote, owe me. That's the level of honesty I am due. That's the level of honesty she has to give me, even though I haven't earned her trust or anything like that. That's the kind of honesty she needs to provide in order to be my intellectual equal. Now, the honesty about why she does not want to go out with me. She says she has a boyfriend. Maybe she didn't want to go out with me because she's a lesbian. Maybe she didn't want to go out with me because she thinks I'm ugly. Maybe she didn't want to go out with me because that's the part. She does not owe me that level of honesty. That's the part where she has no obligation to tell me the truth. To say, I don't want to go out with you, that to say to a person, I do or I don't want to go out with you, that part of the equation affects that other person's use of resources of their time. But the reason for why, that's not so much. And again, you have to understand that women, as objects, women not being agents, can't distinguish the one from the other. They don't understand what I'm saying. Any woman listening to what I'm saying right now has no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. She does not get it. I guarantee fucking to you there's not a woman alive who understands why I'm saying you should not lie to a man about wanting to go out with him, but it's okay to lie about why you don't want to go out with him. There's not a woman out there who can figure that out. Every man out there gets it. Just tell me yes and mean it, or tell me no and mean it, right? Am I right, guys? Am I fucking right? Look down between your legs. Stick your hand down there. Feel between your legs. If you have a ball sack, am I or am I not right? We do not give a fuck why women don't want to go out with us. Just tell us the fucking truth. Do you want to go out or not? Yes or no? Say it and fucking mean it. And there's not a fucking whore out there will be able to understand this. Every man listening to this will get it perfectly. Every man is on board. Every man listening to this podcast gets it. You're all on board with me. Crystal clear. I guarantee you there ain't a woman out there who can fucking distinguish this. Because they all think no means no and yes means no, except when no means maybe, except when maybe means yes, except when yes means I can go buy some fucking shoes on 20% off. Because all women understand is themselves. Everything is about them and them getting attention. They are not agents. They have no agency. They do not exist unless they're getting attention. And that is why they just, in their desperate quest for attention whoring, they just say yes to anything. So it's like the bridge. You can say to the people driving their car, don't drive your car around the corner because the bridge is out. That's the important part. You don't have to tell them why the bridge. You could lie. You could say the bridge is out because of the Jews and the lizard men. You could say the bridge is out because the patriarchy made it collapse. You can say the bridge is out because the river washed. It doesn't matter why the fucking bridge is out. You could say anything you want. You can lie your ass off about why the bridge is out. But you have to tell the truth about the bridge being out. That's the part of the truth you do owe other people. So there are truths that you owe to other people without them having to earn it. And there are truths you don't owe to other people until they have earned it. right? I was about to speak to women. I don't know why. None of you will get it. I'll try. I'll just for fucking shits and grins, I'll try it. So girls, when a man says to you, do you want to go get a beer? Do you want to get coffee? Do you want to go out sometime? Whatever the fuck he does it, either say yes or say no, but fucking mean it. And if the answer is no, don't say yes. Say no. And if you don't have the fucking integrity to say no, don't expect to be paid the same as a man. Don't expect to be equal to a man. Don't expect a man to treat you with respect. If you're going to fucking lie to him about that shit, if you're going to waste his time, waste his resources, make him think you're going to do something you're not going to do, you're a fucking liar. That's all you're a fucking liar. Why is this so goddamn hard for you to understand? Oh yeah, because it's like math, because 21 minus 12 is 8. Oh my God, totally. Like, I don't like being objectified. Oh my God, totally. I like a man who's honest. Right. Because you have no fucking honesty. You would know. Fuck. So just get your bitch ass in the kitchen and make me a pie. Randy. What's up? Hi. How's it going? Play the music. Alright, we're fucking out of here. I think I got everything that was on my list. Oh! Alright, I forgot that part. Alright. I gotta close out with this. But I know I already told you to play the music. Just fade the crap out or something. Hang on. On the subject of telling the truth, the other thing that came to my mind about the whole telling the truth part was reading, and Scott Adams has mentioned this multiple times, but I remember reading about it again in his most recent book, the title of which I've forgotten and I can't remember. I was trying to, but anyhow, I've talked about it on this cast. But anyhow, Scott Adams talks about how when he worked in corporate America, the corporations he was working for just outright told him, said, look, we're not promoting any more white men. We're on this diversity thing where we're promoting minorities and women. And they, again, this is the kind of honesty that will cause others to respect you. They had the honesty to say to him, look, Scott, you're a white man. We are not giving promotions and raises to white men. And because of that, because they were honest with him, Scott Adams focused his efforts elsewhere, and now he's a famous cartoonist. And it's the same thing with men talking to girls. Girls, when a man says to you, do you want to go out sometime? Do you want to get coffee? Do you want to get beer? Do you want to fuck? Do you want to do anal sex? Do you want me to, you know, lick your asshole? Do you want to suck my dick? Whatever it is, when the man says, if you just say no, if you mean no, so that he can recognize that he needs to utilize his resources someplace else. Because when you lie, when you say yes, you're wasting, you know, if these people would have said, oh yeah, Scott, hang in there, we might give you a promotion, we may not have the Dilbert cartoon right now today. It may not exist. But they were honest. They said, Scott, you're a white man. We're not going to promote you. You're not going to get a raise. Just fucking be honest with people. And by the way, on the subject of honesty, no, those pants do not make you look fat. It's the fat that makes you look fat.